Hello, Jessica.
Hey. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our first podcast for Keep Your Gin Up. This is slightly scary, nerve-wracking, amazing, exciting. I have so many emotions right now.
I have a lot of emotions right now.
So many emotions. But we just recorded such an epic podcast for you guys for the first one. So we're just going to quickly go over like a little bit about us first, because this is obviously our first proper podcast. And then we'll tell you a little bit about the episode for today.
Absolutely. My heart rate is still like
same.
It's elevated. It's elevated just from excitement.
So it's called Keep Your Gin Up. So we expect everybody to be listening and drinking some sort of beverage. I mean, if you're at work, you can obviously not have an alcoholic beverage, but it's preferred. So today we are here and we're not sponsored for any of this, but we're here drinking Malfi Gin, which is a grapefruit gin, delicious, with some tonic and some frozen strawberries. And I'm telling you, it's so good. It is 4 o'clock in the afternoon and we're on to our second gin. So probably going to start talking smack anytime now, but hey. That's kind of what this podcast is for.
It's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess we'll start with a little bit about us. So, who are you, Jess? What are you here for?
Who am I? I don't even know who I am. Not kidding. Hey guys, I'm Jess from Nourished Nurses as well. FYI, so we actually run the Nourished Nurse website and Instagram page. It's a huge passion of ours. I've actually been travel nursing for 3.5 years, and I like to say the word travel nursing because it's quite a new, I don't know, like,
yeah.
Not many people say travel nursing. They say like I'm an agency nurse or
travel nursing is very specific, yeah,
very
to what
specific.
We do.
But I love to say travel nursing because that's what we get to do. We get to like fly around Australia or drive around Australia and do epic contracts, get paid sweet, sweet coin, get free accommodation, meet some amazing people. And it's addictive. It's so addictive. So for 3.5 years, I have been doing the nomad lifestyle and doing travel nursing. And man, I've got stories. I've got so many stories, which is why we're podcasting.
Yeah, we can't release it all in this intro. I'm sorry. You have to keep listening.
Sorry, stay tuned. But we want to share with you guys like what the opportunities are out there for nurses. And even if you're not a nurse, I mean, you can just listen to us talk smack because we talk about other things too. Like my dating life's horrendous, but also very funny. So I'll share all those stories with you as well.
Yeah, like if there was an award for dating, like Jess would win the award. Like you just stay tuned for the stories that she has. Like there is an abundance of stories and it's so much fun. And yeah, this is definitely not only directed towards nurses, hence why we called it Keep Your Gin Up, because it's just tailored to life in general, like what we do in our daily lives, the funny things that happen to us, self-confidence, mental health, sexual health, physical health, everything that we I'm passionate about. We want to share with you guys and have some amazing guest speakers as well with like people who are going through unique things too. So, on that note, I'm Zana. I am the other half of Zinarish Nurses. Me and Jess met working in a jail. Actually haven't been friends for that long, but like we're now bonded as sisters. Like we spend 24/7 together and it never gets old. So yeah, we just always have things to talk about. And we just bonded over the same things, wanted to do the same things with our lives. We'd both gone through something pretty traumatic and both led us into agency nursing. So we both went through a bit of a heartbreak, which both led us to kind of run away from our lives, which now we were running away from our lives, but then it kind of became our new lives. So now we are agency travel nurses and that is our life. We ran away and we found this, which is awesome. And we met some amazing people along the way. And we just love what we do. We decided we were supposed to actually be in Alice Springs right now, and we both decided that we wanted to stand still for a second because we had been traveling for so long. So we both actually moved to Brisbane like a month ago. Shout out to any Brisbane peeps who are listening. We love you.
We love Brisbane.
We love Brisbane, and we have met so many people. Honestly, part of our inspiration for this podcast was Life Uncut podcast. Yep. We love them so much. And we went to a Life Uncut meetup group that was made in Brisbane, and we met so many epic girls and kind of like solidified our love for Brisbane. Everyone's lovely. The place is amazing. There's scooters everywhere and we have so much fun.
Yeah. And the best thing is we're not just like, we're still travel nursing, but we're staying still in Brisbane and we're doing the metro style shifts. So we'll be able to talk to you guys about working as a nurse in a city, doing metro work, the highs and lows of that. And we can go away when we want to go away.
Yeah. And we work for so many different agencies. And at the moment, like we aren't sponsored by anyone. So the information that we're giving you is just off our own backs about everyone. I work for 3 agencies now. I've just got employed by a new one, which is specific to critical care. So if you guys have any questions about anything agency related, if you just want to get into it, if you have any questions, please let us know, because that's what we're here for. But also any crazy, funny stories, whether it's nursing related, poo related, dating related, please send them through because we would love to be able to share them throughout our podcast.
I love that you just dropped poo related. That's just so funny.
We're about 3 minutes in and I've already dropped the word poo.
Yeah.
So, it's more and you know, more so
throughout this journey,
it's kind of a telltale of what this is going to be.
Actually,
like.
Talking about poo, I haven't been working on the ward for very long time.
I thought
time.
You were going to say I haven't done a poo in ages.
I tell you my bowel habits daily, to be quite honest. You know what I go.
Yeah, I do.
Wait, that was deep. No, anyway, back to it. I've been doing ED and recovery for a while. So I did a ward shift recently. And like every nurse knows what Melina smells like. Once you smelt it once, it's like forever programmed in your brain stem.
Your brain stem. Specifically in the stem.
Right in the stem. And I did a shift. And I got a hand over about this lady who, yes, was had some Melina issues. That is FYI, that is blood in your poo. And I walked into the room and straight away it just smacked me in the face. Like I was like, oh dearie, it's happening again. And I said to her, I'm like, have you maybe like done a poo? She's like, nah. I haven't done a poo. And I was like, I think maybe you have done a poo. She's like, nah, I haven't done a poo. That's literally how she was talking. And I was like, just let me have a look in your pad. And I'm literally like wrestling with this lady, like trying to look in her pad. So I was like, dude, you're going to like bleed out of me.
Just let me see.
And there was blood everywhere. And I was like, oh man. But yeah, just funny. And it just all came back to me. I'm like, oh, ward nursing. Actually,
what?
Is that a thing now?
What?
Ward nursing.
Well, it gets worse on the ward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually.
You've had some shocker shifts on the ward recently.
I have. So, yeah, ward worsing. That's a new word. Yeah.
I slipped up, but I made something new just then.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, on that note, before we rambled for like 5 minutes now about poo. So, before we should get into this episode.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, today, we interviewed this amazing girl who actually is friends with Jess, and Jess met through agency nursing. I actually only had the pleasure of fully meeting her today. But her name is Nikita, and she is also an agency nurse from New Zealand and is a travel nurse as well. Sorry, a travel midwife, actually.
Yeah, she's a midwife.
So, yeah, she moved over here from NZ to do some contracts. So she's kind of been over here during COVID and away from her family, like completely away from her family. So she has some interesting stories, and she has a condition as well called alopecia, which she shares a little bit of information about if nobody knows about that. She oozes confidence and we are in awe of her, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a great episode and we had so much fun doing it. So we hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned for more. If you guys have any ideas of what we can do for our future podcast, let us know. But yeah, I guess we should just get straight into it.
Let's get right into it. Hope All you guys right. enjoy.
Bye. Oh, how do we sit?
I'm literally sitting on the floor because I tried to sit at my desk and it was like really dark. I looked like I was like in like the Blair Witch Diaries.
Oh my God.
Oh, don't worry, it's all audio.
Yeah, it's fine.
So I'm like sitting on the floor and like my computer's just like in front of the window, so I've got some natural light.
Oh, nice.
You look gorgeous, girl. So how do we start this?
Yeah, we're gonna just get started, I guess. So today you've got me and Jess, which we just started this podcast called Keep Your Gin Up, and we have our lovely first guest speaker, Nikita. Say yes.
Hey
guys.
Hey, thanks for
Nikita.
Having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're super excited. Our first podcast, so like everyone's going to just stand by us because, I mean, there might be some mistakes, but we're going to try our best. So, yeah, well, do you want to start, Jess? How do you know Nikita? Like, how did you guys meet?
I met this gorgeous girl, like, what? Is it 3.5 years ago, I reckon?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah, so my very first nursing contract, I was in Griffith, New South Wales, and Nikita and I met – we always joke that we met online.
Online dating.
It was like online dating.
We had a agency like group page and I just put a little a snippet in, like a photo of the hospital being like, first contract, so excited. And Nikita actually commented on it. And she's like, oh, I'm also here. I'm a midwife. And we just connected through there and organized a little dinner date at Giuseppe's, wasn't it?
Oh, Giuseppe's.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we,
which is still my favorite restaurant in Griffith. Aww. I've tried the gnocchi gorgonzola at every single Italian restaurant. It's still my
it's
favorite.
It's not as good. Oh, so good. And remember, I was like, I was such a like, I feel like I've grown so much the last 3.5 years because you were like, oh, it's like a blue cheese sauce. And I was like, ew, like that sounds disgusting. And you're like, just trust me. And I was like, okay. And you changed my world, girl.
Yeah, now we have blue cheese staple in our fridge all the time.
I've advanced in my palate.
I mean, it was, I definitely threw you in the deep end. It was quite an intense dish to go, like, to lead with, but you
and
handled it well.
Rocket pizza, which we called
everything we ordered
pizza.
Had blue cheese on it. Yeah, 100%.
Yum.
Yeah, I think
you had no
cheese,
choice in
you.
The friendship. Yeah, so you had no choice.
No, I have no choice, whatever. But we had dinner and what, one glass of wine deep, and we were like best friends.
Yeah.
I love those friendships, though. That's when you know you're like friends for life. That's it. That moment where you're like, you know what? You're now my person. We've had one wine and you're now my person. That's it.
Sorry.
Pretty much. God, and I think you do that with agency.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we want to start with a little bit of background on you, Nikita. Where are you from? You got some sexy ass accent there, girl. Where are you from?
Oh, I don't know if you can get away with calling the New Zealand accent sexy.
Yeah, it is.
But there you go. In case you couldn't tell, I am from New Zealand. So I'm a direct entry midwife from New Zealand. So I'm not a nurse. I did midwifery straight out of school and worked in New Zealand for 5 years. In one of the biggest tertiary hospitals, and then decided that I didn't want to do that anymore, got super burnt out, as a lot of us do, and decided to come over here and do some agency work instead.
Nice.
Love it. So what made you make that decision? Was it because you were burnt out, or was it like the financial opportunity or just the travel opportunity?
Yeah, look, it's probably a combination. I always knew I wanted to do it, but I was always... It was like a thing like, oh, I wish I could be one of those people that did this, but I'm super, super scared. And I was such a homebody and I loved having kind of my own house and my own things. And I didn't like not having my things around me. So I was nervous that I wouldn't be good at it. And then I basically just kind of got to the burnout point in my career where I was like, okay, if I don't try something new, I'm going to give up midwifery altogether.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, midwifery's got a really bad retention rate. I mean, the majority of people give up within 10 years, heaps of people give up within 5 years, just because it's really unsustainable the way that we work, being on call all the time. So I was kind of burnt out anyway. And then both of my grandfathers died within 12 weeks of each other. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not even going to stay anymore. I just have to leave. I can't be here anymore. Yeah. So I just left.
Wow. Sometimes it just takes like those things in your life massively changing that you're just like, I need to massively change something else in my life. This is not working. And that's like awesome that you like noticed that and did something amazing like we both did as well, because it's like the best thing that anyone could ever do. Like you change your life up and you just find a completely way, a different way to live. And it's great.
And
we all love it.
Now, like, you're just smashing goals every single day.
I feel like we all of the agency, like nurses and midwives, we all have like this massive thing that happens, whether it's like a breakup or burnout or whatever. We have like this point where we reach like rock bottom and then we're like, nah, something's got to change. And then we're all just out here like living our best lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny. Everyone has a story. Like you meet agency and you're like, what is your story?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely is like, everyone has a story, and like obviously this is your story, and like that's obviously why we started this podcast as well, because we want people to share their stories of why they got into it, because everyone comes from somewhere different but we all end up at the same place, and it's like it's an amazing place to all be, and you bond so much doing agency because you all come from this place that you just wanted to change your life, so it's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wait, what's your first contract as well?
My first contract was in Portland, Victoria, which was a really cool little town. I did the controversial thing and took on a really long contract for my first contract, because I think I didn't really know how to do agency yet. And I was scared that because there's no job security with agency, that I'd come over here and like not be able to get another contract. So my first contract was actually 6 months. And luckily, luckily, I really liked it, because if I'd gone somewhere horrible, I'd have been like, oh my God, what have I done? But yeah, it's a beautiful little town, like basically at the end of the Great Ocean Road in Victoria. The hospital was right on the waterfront. You could see whales breaching from the hospital windows. Like, it was so beautiful. And I'd gone from this massive tertiary hospital, they'd done like 5,000 births a year, to this place that did like 200 a year. And I was just like, this place is heaven. It's so beautiful. And it was like an easy entry into Australia as well, because it was Victorian weather. It was like similar weather to New Zealand, so I didn't come into like the massive heat straight away.
Yeah, and like having only 200, like from going from how many thousand births a year to a couple of hundred, like does that make it like less stressful and you can bond with the mums better? Like does it give you more time to kind of go through everything and you're not so stressed and rushed?
Yeah, definitely. It was a really nice arrangement the way that the hospital works. So there was only a few midwives, and so we'd do like all the antenatal visits. We'd meet the woman again when they came in and had their babies, and then we did home visits for the first 2 weeks afterwards as well. And I'd just been used to working in delivery suites, so that you'd come on shift to 8 or 12 hours, and like whoever was in there, you'd go in, you'd deliver their baby, you'd leave, you'd never see them again.
Yeah. Wow.
So it seems more like personal. You get to like really build relationships and like, I don't know, to see the whole journey, I think, when you're in small towns. That's awesome.
That's so nice. So, yeah, what do you think is that like your favourite thing about travel nursing? What do you love the most?
There's so much I love about it, to be honest. I love seeing all the different places. I love travelling around. And I think part of the reason we choose contracts is because of places that we want to work in terms of the hospital, but we also pick them because of places that we want to explore in our spare time as well. Yeah. So I really love that aspect of it, is feeling like you're on a working holiday all the time. I also think, like, I think it's made me, even though I've gone from working in really busy hospitals to like quiet places, I feel like it's made me a lot more resilient in my clinical skills, because you're constantly changing environments. You've constantly got to learn new policies, protocols. Yeah. You've got to like go in, then be somewhere for a few weeks and basically convince them to trust you that you're not shit and that you're actually going to do a good job. and there's hit and miss, like it is hit and miss with agency, both with contracts and with staff. So sometimes you can come in and you know that they've had not a great agency like staff member beforehand, and they've got their back up and they like don't know whether they can trust you. So I enjoy like basically coming in and kind of forging relationships with really like people really quickly and kind of trying to be really resilient and kind of put myself out of my comfort zone like that and make sure that I can just go wherever I need to go whenever I need to go there.
Yeah, that's awesome. It makes you grow as a person for sure. Like you have to be so many different people and so many different roles. You have to wear so many different hats all of the time that it makes you not only grow as like a clinician, but also like as a person as well, because you have to be super adaptable to place, work, everything. So
relationships.
Like, yeah.
You put yourself out of your comfort zone all the time. I think that's how we bonded as well, because we met online. We put ourselves out there, to adult, like, grown adults as well, to try and meet up and try and be like, hey, do you want to be friends? Like, that's hard work.
It's hard
and it's scary to do. Yeah. But like, oh my God, we had such amazing adventures at contract. And then the contract after that. We've done two contracts.
I know, and that's also one of the great things about agency, is I think you forge way deeper friendships with people than you would in normal life. Because if you just lived in your own normal life and someone new started at work, you'd be like, hey girl, and you'd like, that'd be the end of it. Whereas when you turn up somewhere and you're both agency, you're like, what are you doing on your days off? Like, do you want to be my friend? Do you want to hang out? Do you want to do this next contract with me? And you forge like super intense friendships really quickly, and they see like the best and worst of you, because you don't have family and friends around. Like, Jess nursed me through a breakup, for goodness sake. Like, I was just like, hey, like, who are you? Like, you know, I've just broken up with someone, I need to live with you, please help me.
Actually, that is a funny story. Literally, I was in Townsville at the time, and me and Nikita always keep in contact, and you were dating a guy previously for about a year, wasn't it? A year?
Yeah, about 18 months.
Yeah, and then you guys were going through that breakup period, and you were just so upset and just like, you know, all by yourself in this small town, and everyone else that you'd made friends with agency wise had kind of gone, and I was just like, I need to come and see you. So I contacted the agency and I was like, I need to go back there, and I said, please put me and Nikita in a house together, and they did that.
It was amazing. It was like full circle, because the first contract you came is when I met my partner, and then I stayed there and you went off and worked in Indo and did all your cool stuff. And then as it was ending, I was like, you need to come back and save me.
Save me.
Oh my God. That was so good. And the memories. Oof. We can't talk about it on the podcast, but damn.
I mean, you can give us one sneaky little one. You got to give us one. Come on.
I just have memories of your constant tea obsession.
My tea obsession. Yeah, I thought you said pee for a second. I was like, what?
so much
tea. Yes, tea. I am a tea freak. Yeah.
You're like, you want some Earl Grey? Do you want some cinnamon? Do you want some peppermint? Do you want some? You had every flavor.
She's basically tea too. That's who she is.
She owns every house.
I am basically T2. And then at Christmas time, I got the T2 advent calendar as well. So we had a new flavor. Quite every day in December.
Do you drink coffee or just tea?
Only when I go out, like a cappuccino or something, but I won't have coffee in the house. No,
this girl's no. She bloody loves it.
Wow, there you go.
That was so funny. Good memories.
I'm a grandma. I make a pot of tea and hop into bed with my book every night.
You're a sexy ass grandma if you're grandma, let me tell you.
I know, isn't she? She's a sexiness, this girl. So, like, obviously, there's so much you love about travel nursing. I'm exactly the same. I love everything about it. But obviously, there is some hard parts about it. What do you reckon is something that you kind of struggle with or that's hard with travel nursing?
For me, I think probably it's the no job certainty aspect to it. Mm-hmm. I'm such a type A personality. I always want to have all my ducks in a row, and the idea of being left without a job makes me really anxious. So that's something that I've really had to kind of relax into, because I want to just plan everything all in advance, but then like some of the most amazing contracts I've managed to go on have been really last minute, and I've only managed to get them because I've been on holiday and they've come up and I've said, right, like I'll just like I'll leave early or whatever and I'll go to this contract. So I think if you can be a little bit more open-minded and a little bit more chill, you end up with really good opportunities. Especially like I'm in Thursday Island at the moment and I've been trying to get a contract here for 2 years. It's really highly sought after. Wow. And every time a contract comes up, I've been on another contract and I haven't been able to go. And this came up when I was in New Zealand on holiday and I was like, right, like I'll leave next week and I'll come to Thursday Island because I want to have this contract. So the thing I struggle with is the no job certainty, but I've never, ever been left without a job. I've been doing this for 4 years now. I've always had a job. And so it's more in my mind than an actual reality. Like it's just that I am a bit of a control freak.
You literally put on your Facebook last week that you don't have a job, like you don't have another job lined up. And you're like, watch this space. And then all
this
of a sudden,
is the longest it's been. This was really anxiety provoking for me because this is the closest I've gotten to the end of a contract. I leave here on Sunday and I only just secured my next contract yesterday. And I wouldn't normally have left it that long, but I was in the process of changing agencies. So I had to go through all the reference checks and all that stuff again.
Yeah.
And I was like so anxious about it. And yesterday I just rang them up and I was like, look, you need to get me a contract today because I'm freaking out here. Like I need some security. And they were really had a contract within the hour and I told them what I wanted to do. Yeah, I told them what I wanted to do for the rest of the year and they got me two contracts. So I've got the next two contracts sorted out until I go home for Christmas. So I'm really much more relaxed now.
Tell us where your next contracts are going to be.
So I'm going to Mackay next for 5 weeks and then I'm going to Kingaroy for 5 weeks.
Kingaroy, where's that?
3 hours from us. Oh, okay.
Is that inland or
coast? It's inland. So it's inland from, it's like an hour and a half inland from Sunshine Coast.
Okay.
And it's like, apparently there's wineries and like beautiful lavender fields and all sorts of stuff. And it's a small little hospital, I think probably the size of Griffith. And I haven't spent any time in Sunshine Coast. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to see some of Sunshine Coast on my days off.
That would be so beautiful. And my friend is actually in ICU in Mackay at the moment doing agency as well. And she really likes it there. She likes the town. It's hot all of the time. So going into summer, you're going to die, but you know, it'll be so, so beautiful. But yeah, I went to Mackay a couple of times. We went there and stayed with some mates while we were there.
We stayed in a sugarcane field.
Yeah. There's a lot of sugarcane, which is beautiful. And there's a lot of farmers. And I mean, sexy farmers. So
talking
like
about
that.
Some sexy farmers.
I know. See, I grew up on
you're a single
person. I grew up on a farm, so farmers don't really do it for me. It just makes me think of like my dad and my granddad.
Yeah, but if you ever say that farmers aren't for you, that is exactly who you're going to end up with. That's exactly what's going to happen.
So like how is the single life going, Nikita?
Tell us single Pringle.
Single life's always, it's always fun. I mean, I enjoy dating on the road. Like it definitely has pros and cons. The thing I'm really careful about is like where I choose to date. So when I'm going into really small communities, I absolutely do not date. I'm very like, you know, go to work, watch my Netflix, come home, behave myself. So there's no way I would like look at dating or anything somewhere like Thursday Island, because it's just
you'd say
too small. I don't want people knowing my business. Like, I don't want to offend any of the elders. Like, culturally, I think it would just be a really bad idea. But when you go to bigger places, like, you can still go to work. You can leave work and do whatever you want in your spare time, and no one really knows you outside of work. So, I'm looking forward to going to Mackay.
Yeah. It's a big town. Nobody knows anybody there.
Yes. I enjoy it. I enjoy the diversity in my work life and my dating life.
Love it. Yeah. And it's very different dating on the road in small towns compared to big cities, hey?
It is. I mean, there are pros and cons. And I think the tricky thing is, I mean, you've got to figure out what you want ultimately, because everyone's going to want different things and out of their dating life. But I guess the downside to it is when you're only in places for short periods of time, people tend to think, oh, yeah, yes, you know, you're just after a bit of fun. So if you don't want that, that's tricky. I mean, if you do want that, the opportunities are abundant. But
yes, 100%.
If you're looking for something else, sometimes people don't take you very seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
You did find a boyfriend for 18 months, so it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
That is totally possible. You just have to be open-minded. You know, like, the fact of the matter is we're getting kind of, like, I'm getting close to that, like, panic gear stage of my life. Like, I'm approaching 30. I know at some point I'm going to want to settle down and have kids and stuff. And if this is what I'm doing with my life, you know, this is how I'm meeting people. And so I have to be open-minded to the fact that I could meet my person that mm-hmm. I want to settle down with on the road, and then presents a whole other bunch of challenges, because I'm gonna be like, hey, do you want to come back to New Zealand?
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, like, if you find that right person, then it's just gonna fit perfectly, and they're gonna come where you go, and then you're gonna be in it together. So there's always a way to work it out. Like, I met a friend actually randomly on a trip in Airlie Beach, and she's now one of my really good friends, and she was going through Mackay on a big road trip. She was traveling for like 6 months up and around. She was doing a big loop, and she just met this guy at a pub, the pub we actually ended up going back to when we were in Mackay. She met this random guy there, farmer, sugarcane farmer. She also grew up on a farm and never wanted to live on a farm. She didn't want to live isolated. She didn't want that at all. So she was like, she had this fling with this guy while she was there. She thought nothing of it, continued traveling. They just kept talking, Snapchatting all the time. He basically fell in love with her. Then he's like, come back and stay with me. So she came back and stayed with him for like an extended period of time on the way back on her travels, and basically never left. Like, she just moved straight in, and they are still together. And they, now she lives on this farm, and she's like, he's the one. Like, it just fits. Yeah. And she just knows, which is mad to me. But it can happen. And she never said, she said she would never, ever, ever data farmer, which is what you're saying.
Be careful, Nikita.
So be careful there.
I'm not saying never. I'm just saying, like, it's not my first pick.
They are, like, the guy that she met and the guys that he's friends with, they're all super, super lovely. So there are some really good guys, some good farmers and good people in Mackay. So you're going to have a great time.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. So do you have any, like, juicy, like, dating story from the road? Like, you got to give us something.
Just a little something.
Is this the spill the tea thing?
It's the spill the tea.
Oh, we can do the spill the tea now. I mean, we should have done it at the start, but we forgot. So what we're going to do on our podcast, we're going to not do it in the middle of the podcast next time. At the start of the podcast, we're going to do this section called spill the tea. And so we're going to have ourselves and our guest speakers tell us a funny story, something crazy that's happened to them, whatever, like, story comes to their mind that's wild and out there and full of gossip. Then we're gonna have a little spill of the tea section.
So anything, it can be personal, it can be dating, can be whatever.
So go for it.
You can go first, or we can go first. What do you got?
So this one, I actually haven't told anyone this before.
Oh my god, exclusive!
So I need to be very careful to keep this confidential, because it's like personal, but like crossed into work. Okay, I'm gonna try and keep it confidential. So on one of my contracts, I was dating someone for a little while, like a few months. Anyway, I found out kind of throughout the situation that he had an ex-partner that he had children to, which is fine, and that she was having another baby, and that she was going to be having the baby at the hospital that I was working at.
Oh, no.
But his baby, or is someone else's baby?
His baby.
It wasn't his.
Okay.
But I was like, right, okay, cool. Well, like, you know, you need to like not tell her that I'm a midwife, because this is like, you know, this is a small place. There's the really large kind of chance that I'm going to end up there when she has the baby. Like, you've got to keep this kind of on the DL. Anyway, he didn't, because he was a loudmouth. And so he told her.
Oh, no.
And lo and behold, she came in on my shift. And had a baby, and that was all fine. I never said anything at all. And then the next day, when I was like looking after her after she had the baby and everything, she's like, "Oh, you know, such and such, don't you?" And I was like, "Yes, I do. Like, he's my friend."
she's like,
"Oh, yeah. Like, you know, because they've been like high school sweethearts. They had like 3 children together." Oh, and so then she just proceeded to tell me like all of the intimate details of their like sex life and their relationship and all this stuff, and I was just like, oh my god. I was like, "Do you want someone else to look after you, because like this is awkward for you, you don't have to have me look after you." And she's like, no, like, "I like you." And she just kept telling me all these details. I was like, okay, this is probably one of the weirdest things.
Maybe you reach that level once you've delivered someone's baby. I mean, you've seen everything. So
you've seen the guy and the ex naked. Like, you've seen it all. Yeah. That's an interesting situation. Yeah. And you've seen her birth someone else's baby. Like, that's all kind of messed up.
That's a great spill.
But that's
tea.
Great. That's a great one. There's definitely nothing that we can top of that one. That was great.
I mean, my Aladdin story is pretty hilarious.
Oh, we're going to go full Aladdin on this podcast. So. Yeah, do the Aladdin one. So. Yeah, go for it. Yeah. I don't have any funny dating story. You should have gone first.
Yours isn't as funny as this one.
I think I'm just going to have to make up something while you're talking. I'm going to have to think. Go on with Aladdin.
If we were talking right now on the phone, Nikita, I'd be telling you the story anyway. This is great. So I've been playing on the old Bumble, because I'm in a city now. All this opportunity to date now, because small towns, as you said, you know, you sometimes can't date. So I was chatting to this guy, and then on the Saturday or Sunday, I think we're in breakfast on the riverfront.
Yeah.
Beautiful breakfast. And this guy in an Aladdin costume with a magic carpet and this other chick, I think Elsa, wasn't it?
Yeah, Elsa, yeah.
And this kid like went through the city like screaming and singing and dancing, and we're like, "What the hell?" And they went straight past me. Anyway, coincidentally, this guy messaged me. He's like, "Oh, what'd you do today?" I was like, "Oh, I had breakfast." He goes, "Oh, I was going through the city today in an Aladdin outfit." And I was like, "Oh, that's so funny.
Like, no way.
I literally saw you." And I thought, this guy is a little interesting. Anyway, he decides to organize to have a coffee with me. So I was like, okay, yeah, I've got a dentist appointment. It'll finish by 11. We'll have a coffee then. And I thought it'd be a funny story to see Aladdin. Anyway, I went to the dentist, and turns out I needed to have fillings. And the guy was like, "Okay, we're just going to do 2 fillings." And I was like, okay. I had no idea I was going to get needles in my mouth. And he injected like all my top and all my bottom. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, my God, I'm meeting this guy in 10 minutes. And I tried to smile, and I literally had a drip lip.
She looked like she had a stroke.
I looked legit like I had a stroke. And I was in the mirror trying to smile. I smiled to the dentist because I told him. I was like, oh, my God, I've got a date after this. And he was like, oh, I mean, it's not that obvious. Oh, good luck. He goes, just wear your mask.
Oh, my God.
And then I was trying to like spit the solution out of my mouth, and it was like going all down my top. And I was like, I can't even feel this going down my face. Anyway, I messaged him and I was like, maybe we should reschedule this date. He was like, nah, just droopy face, come, it's fine. So I met up with him, but as I was on the way to the coffee shop, he rocks up in a bloody skateboard, like this electronic skateboard, and he goes, "Hey, Jess." And I was like, "Oh, hey." And he picks me up, puts me on this skateboard, and hugs me from behind, and we start skateboarding through the city. He's like, "We're not going to that coffee shop. I've got a surprise for us." And I was like, "What?" And he takes me to this like secret little crepe place, which he had already pre-organized, and it had his like, the table was already set up with flowers and stuff on it, and we're eating crepes, and I still can't feel my face. And I'm so nervous, and I'm also a bit intimidated because I'm hanging out with him, and I'm
with
like,
Aladdin.
With the Aladdin guy. He also at the beginning of the date tells me that he was accused of murder. That's another side story that is hilarious.
Oh my God.
Been on the news. Yeah, he did a play. He was like recording a play, and he put a pretend corpse into the Uber, and the Uber driver didn't understand that it was it was fake, and called the police, and it was a 3-day investigation. He was locked up and everything, and you know, cost the taxpayers $36,000 and blah blah blah. And I was like, interesting. But anyway, I'm trying to eat my crepe while I'm talking to him, And then he's like, oh, you got chocolate on your face. I was like, no, I don't. I tried so hard to be careful to not get any food on my face. And he gets the napkin and he wipes my face and there was chocolate all over the napkin. And he was like, look, I'm already having to clean up after you. And I was like, oh my God. And I was drinking the coffee and I drank coffee and it went all down my chest. And by the time I left the date, I was a grub. And I just will never, ever catch up with the guy after going to the dentist ever again.
But he also asked you on a second date. I mean, droopy face worked.
Yeah.
I mean,
it worked.
It worked, even though we're not going to see Aladdin again. We're not going to see Aladdin again. If you ever listen to this. But keep up the good Aladdin work. You're keeping people of Brisbane happy.
But I met a bunch of girls and I told them about it and they've all seen Aladdin.
Yeah.
Like, wait, that Aladdin guy. So
anyone from Brisbane listening to this probably has seen Aladdin and now knows that Jess has now dated him. So there you go.
Yeah. anyone that's listening, Aladdin is accused of murder.
And he's also accused of murder. Yeah.
Big I'm story. Sure like it could actually be true. And like he pretended that it was fake corpse and had a backup plan. You never know. He could be crazy.
Don't know, but I physically drilled in front of the guy multiple times. So
I probably wouldn't lead with the fact that you've been accused of murder on a first date though. So I still think you came out on top.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like that. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it was on his Bumble profile.
He actually put on his, you know, the two truths and a lie. That was actually on there, which is why. Yes.
Oh God.
Good times. Mm. Good times. But yeah, now the next dentist appointment, not going to organize anything post that at all. No way.
I don't know. Now I feel like I have to do a dating story, but I can't think of any. I've only like dated one person since being here.
No, I mean, ours is both dating stories. You can go with just a nursing story. What about that creepy, the really funny guy at the COVID clinic?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, that was a cracker.
So like I have been working at this COVID clinic and it literally only opened the other day. So we had like the first people come through the other day. And I don't know what it is, whether they just send them to me or whether they just randomly come to me. But I always get the guys who are like shooting their pants. And it's always guys. The girls are always fine. But this guy was literally shooting his pants. He was probably like 65 and he was like shaking. He was like banging his knee. He was so scared. And he's like, I don't want to see the needle. Like, just don't show me. Don't show me the needle. Like, just do it. Don't tell me when you're doing it. And I was like, okay, we're going to get ready now. So like, just turn around. Don't look. And I didn't, I was just talking to him the whole thing. I didn't tell him I was doing it. And I did it. And then I was like, all done. And he's like, what? I was like, all done. And he's like, what do you mean all done? He's like, I've been told it's like a 40 millimeter needle and like 10 mils goes into your arm. And like, it's going to be like a horse tranquilizer. And I was like, what? Like, where is this information coming from? Like, he was in there shitting his pants because he thinks he's getting this giant needle into his arm. And I tell him it's 0.3 mils. And he's like, oh, is the second one the same? And I was like, yes, it's 0.3 mils. Like, it's the smallest amount ever. And he wanted to see the needle. And he was just like so shocked that this Pfizer injection was super easy. And then just like multiple guys keep coming in like the same. And I end up, by the time they leave, like probably 2 minutes later from my pod, they've changed their mind about injections and they're like, all fine. They're like, oh, that was super easy. Can I come to you next time?
It's amazing what people just read on the internet. Like they'll probably just read a comment from someone and be like, oh my God. No
yeah.
way.
Like as if you're going to use like some giant ass needle, like that's ridiculous. Like we're not jamming into your bone.
So much kind of misinformation out there though. Like when I got my COVID vaccine, everyone was like, oh, you're going to be so sick. You have to take days off work. All this stuff is going to be horrible. I was like, we give like bigger volumes of injections to newborn babies.
Yeah.
Like, what? Great way of putting it, actually. That's very, very true.
Mm.
Oh, my God. 10 mils. Can you imagine injecting 10 mils into somebody? Like,
oh, awful.
That's just feral. Oh.
But I promise next time I'll have a better spill of tea, you know, like maybe something dating blooded or something funny. But, yeah, anyone out there who wants to write us their spill of tea, send them to us because we will read them out.
I know. We need more. I do have so many, but. I just got to like pace them out, you know?
Yeah.
Space them out.
I feel like you guys would have good stories.
Remember, this is my normal life. Like, I feel like this is all the time. So I think I'm like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah, it's not a, like, it's just part of your daily life. You go through these weird things.
It is.
I think it's just because like you are so open and positive and like open to all these different weirdo experiences that you like literally never say no to anything.
Yeah. No.
So you I mean, end yes, up girl. Experiencing the strangest things, but it makes for such good podcasting.
Yeah. Don't you reckon being an agency nurse, you just become a yes girl?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. When I first started, like, I think that was what you were saying before. Like, you were so scared about having so much uncertainty with agency. Mm-hmm. And I was the same. I'm someone who's very much like, I'm always the organizer. I organize every holiday, I organize everything all the time. And I hate not being organized. It stresses me out. And I think, like, after all the stuff that happened to me as well, like, I went through a giant breakup. like I needed to do something completely different that was super out of my comfort zone and do something where I was like not organized and like had to just relax and chill the F out. So I think like doing agency nursing has definitely made me into like a yes person. Like I try not to say no to anything. If it's like a great opportunity comes up, you just have to go for it because like anything could come of that. It could be the most amazing experience of your life. So I think you just learn to kind of like chill out a bit as well doing agency. And you learn so much about yourself. Like,
oh, yeah. And your confidence so much. Up. Like I look at you, Nikita, with your 4 years of doing what you're doing and you just ooze confidence. Like so much confidence and you just love your life. And I love like she will, we'll have to tell everyone about her Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
Midwifery one. You've gone to, where was it? South America, South Africa.
I went to Central and South America, did a solo backpacking trip through Central and South America. And I also did a volunteer trip in Kenya as well.
I really, really want to backpack through South America. So we're going to have to talk about that at a different time.
Absolutely.
But I need all the information on that. That sounds epic.
Yeah.
What I love so as well fun. About your Instagram is you always post a lot about like the confidence and also self-love.
Mm-hmm. I love we it. Are all about self-love. Like
I just read it and I just throw it, yeah, girl. Like even if I'm feeling a little bit flat, like your memes and your quotes that you put up crack me up.
Yeah, so like how do you do it? How do you like?
I definitely cope through humor, hence the memes.
Some of your memes are so dark. I love it.
I think it's like, it's normal. We all go through, you know, these stages of like self-doubt or having to be your own hype girl and pumping yourself up, I suppose. But when you're on the road, if you have to do it more so because you don't have like your comfortable little life around you where you can go like home and sit on the couch and chat to your mum, or you can have your best friend over for a wine and she can be like, yeah, girl, like you're amazing.
Yeah.
Like you have to be your own hype girl. So
your own hype girl. I love that.
When you're packing for contracts, obviously you live in New Zealand, so you actually have to just live out of your suitcase. What are the things that you pack? What are your top things, top essentials?
So I find packing stressful. Even after 4 years, I don't feel like I'm any better at it. But I definitely have met people that take more stuff than me. And like some of my friends bring like multiple suitcases. So I do only bring one suitcase, but I always pay for the extra luggage. So I pay up to 32 kilos. So I always have a 32 kilo suitcase. And like most of that's obviously clothes. I bring a lot of like makeup and skincare and hair care stuff. Like my toiletry bag probably weighs like 7 or 8 kilos. And then like my non-negotiables would be, I always bring my Kobo. I bring my laptop. I bring heaps of photos so I can just like blue tack them all over my wall when I move in somewhere. Yeah, and I bring essential oils and a little like mini travel diffuser, and I bring some copper seed lights because they fold up to like basically the size of like a matchbox. So then when I get into my house, put all my photos up, like cute lighting, like smells, beautiful essential oils, and I feel like I'm, you know, like I have a little like space in the world.
Yeah, like you take home with you wherever you go. Yeah. That's so nice.
So before and after of some of the accommodation she's lived in.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks like such a haul before. And then she just spruces it up with the little Nikita magic and it looks amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
It looks so good.
You have to take a little bit of home with you for sure.
It helps when you're in bigger places and you can go to Kmart. Like I'll often just go to Kmart and buy like a nice bedspread or something and like a few nice like creature comforts, and then I'll just donate it to the Salvation Army when I leave. Last couple of contracts I've been on have been quite remote. So like here, obviously there's no Kmart and there's the island. And in Weipa there was nothing as well. So it was like I couldn't do that at all. I just had to live with I've got.
Have you looked ahead? Is there a Kmart in Mackay?
Oh, there's like so
there's so much stuff there. It's actually like a really big hospital with the biggest hospital.
We went to the shopping center, Goose.
Yeah, it'll be the biggest like regional contract I've done in Australia.
Yeah, it's a big hospital. It's actually quite nice in there, so you can have a good time.
Yeah, we got to see our friend's accommodation. We like pop by.
It is amazing.
It's across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a friend there at the moment and she sent me a little video of her accommodation. So I know what I'm in for.
Yeah. It's great.
And
it's brand new.
A lot of the rooms have en suites as well. Hopefully you get the en suite room.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
So apart from being a nurse, obviously there's more to you than just nursing. Midwifering. Midwifing? Midwifering.
What is it? Midwifing?
Midwifing?
Midwifery, like I guess midwifing,
Midwifing.
Wow. Like
you have a condition that we would love you to talk about and educate us on, because it's obviously something that can affect your confidence, and we want to know what it is, how you deal with it, and how do you stay so confident and positive through all of it.
Especially because on our very first meeting, after one glass of wine, we like told each other our deep, dark personal
story. Yeah.
And you just, we just unleashed all this stuff on each other. And I was love like,
wow, that so much.
Love it.
Yeah. I think, and it's like, that is the key, I think, to being okay with it. So what I have is a condition called androgenic alopecia. So alopecia basically is like, essentially it's balding. And there's different, like different subcategories. Mm-hmm. So there's androgenic alopecia, which is the one that I have, which is basically like a female version of male pattern balding. So it's due to like excessive testosterone. And then there's other forms of alopecia that can be caused by like hormone imbalances, stress, like fungal infections, things like that. And so the ones that are caused like when people are in really stressful situations and they lose all their hair or they lose big clumps of their hair due to fungal infections, those things can all be treated. But androgenic alopecia, because it's a hormone imbalance and it's excessive testosterone, that's secreted by the skin and then reabsorbed by the scalp, it essentially kills hair follicles, and it's the only one that can't be treated with modern kind of medical treatments. Mm. There are schools of thoughts out there about treating things like this naturally. But yeah, so it's a really, it's a hard thing because it's an autoimmune disease,
yeah.
But it's very much a physical thing. And so it can often be misconstrued as just being like a vanity thing and it not being actually like a real medical condition. And apart from the fact that I'm like, that I lose hair, I have no other like effects of it that I know of. However, being that it is a hormone imbalance, it is basically, it's the same hormone imbalance as someone with polycystic ovaries, but it is like it presents in different ways. So people with polycystic ovaries have excessive testosterone and that leads to excessive hair growth and then fertility and things like that. Whereas mine's kind of the opposite with like not growing hair. However, I don't know if that's going to cause issues for fertility because I haven't had children yet. So at this stage, the only thing that I have issues with is the fact that I'm balding. But who knows whether that is going to become an issue for me with fertility in the future. But it has been really hard for me because obviously I got diagnosed at 17. And when I went to the doctors, they're options basically were like, okay, you can use like Rogaine, which hasn't really been tested very well on women, and the tests that have been done has shown that it, one, doesn't really work, or two, it makes you grow excessive facial hair, so it doesn't really work for the hair on your head. And the other option is finasteride, which is a testosterone blocker, and they don't recommend that for people in childbearing age because it can have effects on pregnancy. So if I was to get pregnant with a male, a male baby, he could be born with ambiguous genitalia. So essentially I had no kind of treatment options. And so I've just been doing things like using thickening shampoos, and I use, my sister calls it my seasoning. It's like hair powder that looks the same color as my hair. So it covers my bald spot.
I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because
seasoning. So I try and not let it affect my life so much, because when I was first diagnosed, I wouldn't go swimming, I wouldn't go camping, I wouldn't do anything, I wouldn't tell anyone. And I decided when I was going to travel, especially when I backpacked through Central and South America, and I was going to be sharing like 12 bed dorm rooms and I was going to have no privacy, I was like, look, I just have to be honest about this, because everyone has something, right? Everyone has something they feel like nervous about. It. Some people have like sleep apnea, some people have diabetes, some people have all sorts of like medical conditions they have to deal with when they're traveling. So I was like, look, this is who I am. Like, I have alopecia. It means that, you know, I manage my life a certain way. I only wash my hair once a week, but when I wash my hair, I have to blow dry it, straighten it, put all my products in it. And, you know, so it means if I go swimming or if I go camping or if I do anything I do, I have to have like a plan in place for my hair. And it also means I bring a lot of hair products with me when I travel.
Yeah.
I love that though. Like, I love like that when we met as well, you were just so open about it. And we just, I don't know, I was so confused about it because you just ooze so much confidence and you look so gorgeous. And then you're telling me all this like stuff about everything that you deal with. And I've seen you get ready and I see how long it can take once you've washed your hair. And I think, wow, like I just love your outlook on it and your positivity and just how open you were with me about it as well. Like, I've met so many people. I've probably met about three or four more people since we've talked about it 4 years ago. And straight away, I'm like, oh, awesome. Like, how do you go with it? Like, my friends got it. And they were like, oh my God, really? Like, I'm just,
I
love your outlook.
I watched this reality TV show called Made in Chelsea. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's basically a reality TV show of these really rich people in the UK, and they live in Chelsea in the UK. And this girl, Olivia Bentley, her family owns Bentley cars. Like, they started Bentley cars. So she is very, very, very wealthy, and she is stunning. And through the seasons, she's come out and said that she's got alopecia, and she puts a lot of awareness and stuff in this reality show, which is great. But she does often leave her hair as it is. But majority of the time she wears wigs and things like that. And so she'll mix it up with long hair, short hair, different colors. I guess like underneath that, when I see her on the TV, I don't notice that she has alopecia. It's something that like she seems to hide quite well. Like, do you have techniques that you use? Like, are you someone that would go to wigs, or like how does it kind of progress over time? And what are your kind of techniques with that?
So it is like a condition that will get worse over time. They think that like you'll never lose your hair completely, but essentially like it starts in the crown and it gets thinner and thinner and thinner until basically you're at the point where, I mean, you somewhat resemble Gollum, I suppose.
You will never resemble Gollum. You are so beautiful. You would never.
I always make jokes about it. I'm like, all right, I'm washing my hair. It's Gollum time. Like, get out of my face. I mean, look, the thing that makes me really nervous is like, one, obviously the fertility side of it, but two, people, hormone changes in pregnancy can make people lose their hair as well.
Yeah.
So if I am blessed enough to be able to have children, like, I do worry that I will lose a lot more of my hair throughout that process. And then also having children, I won't have the time to invest in actually doing the things that I need to do for my hair. Mm-hmm. So I am open to the idea of wigs. And I have actually found a company in America that makes human hair wigs that I really like, but they're very expensive. They're about like $6,000 a wig kind of thing.
Wow.
So I have that as like a backup option if I'm like, one day I'm like, right, I'm just going to shave my head and wear a wig. But I just don't feel like I'm there yet. Like, I feel like it's almost like giving up, and I'm just not ready to do that.
Fair enough.
I think you've got to be at like an emotionally kind of ready place to do such a massive thing. So what I'm doing is just, I try lots of different kind of natural treatments. I've done all sorts of different, like, homeopathy, naturopathy, acupuncture. I've done past life regression. I've done all sorts of things, Reiki.
Wow.
Like, I've tried everything. I've come from quite an alternative family. So like every time my nana hears about some like weird and wonderful new thing, I'm like, I'm trying that. I'm doing that. I'll never give up. Like, I'd rather spend all my money and know that like I've done everything.
You've done everything. Yeah.
So at the moment, like, I try everything new when it comes up. I use a thickening shampoo. I use, like, sprays and powders that are hair concealing that basically color my scalp the same color as my hair, so you can't see the bald spots. And when I do that, like, I basically wear my hair down for like 1 or 2 days, and then I just tie it up for the rest of the week, and that's me. And I do it kind of like once a week. So
cool. That's awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing. Honestly, because everyone does have their thing,
and it's scary to share something that's so vulnerable as well, so we really appreciate that.
And I think it really like helped us bond, because we just like met and just straight away just told each other things that were vulnerable to us, and we'll just like, I don't know, you just bond so much better when you do open up and just go, hey, this is
and
me.
Every single person has something that affects their confidence, whether it's physical, mental, sexual, whatever it might be. Everybody has something. Even if they come across, like you said, you thought she came across so confident and and like loved herself and whatnot, but like behind every single person, there's a reason that they're there, and there's a reason that they have that confidence. And a lot of the time it's from something that made them not confident in the first place. So that's just amazing how you've gotten to such an accepting and confident place with that. It's just, inspirational.
I think we have to build ourselves, like build each other up as women. Like, I think I feel much more confident sharing it with women than I do with, like, even if I am dating someone and I have to share it with them, because obviously like waking up next to someone, I'm worried that like the hair stuff would have come off from the pillow and they'll see bald spots. I'm like, that still like fills me with dread. I still like feel like I want to vomit every time I have to tell someone, because you just kind of, you have this thought like, oh, he's not going to love me if I'm ugly, or if I like look like Gollum or whatever. But, you know, like, I feel like telling women is a lot easier, because women naturally just nurture each other.
Yeah. And you have to fully love yourself and love every every flaw, everything about yourself before anyone else can love you. So you have to be fully accepting of everything that you have.
That's why we got to come together, yeah. Nurture each other, man. Hype each other up.
You got to love. You got to love yourself.
Yeah. Agency nurses, come together.
Yeah.
You're so not.
If you were talking to anyone that had just been diagnosed with alopecia, or someone who, someone had just found out and is freaking out, like, what would you say to them?
Look, I would say obviously go through like the doctors, because there's valid medical stuff behind it as well. And sometimes it is an easy fix. Sometimes there's a hormone imbalance, or you can be really, really anemic, which can cause you to, your hair to grow thin, like all sorts of different reasons. But if you have got that diagnosis of androgenic alopecia, like, don't give up, try alternative things. I haven't managed to kind of fix my alopecia, but I have managed to stop it from further thinning by taking natural therapies. So saw palmetto is a really good one, and actually they usually use that for like prostate issues and prostate cancer and stuff like that, but because it's due to an excess of testosterone, it works in like the same kind of way. So yeah, there are things you can do to make it better. Something I really struggled with in the beginning was going to the hairdresser. I didn't want to go to the hairdresser and have my hair cut in public. I didn't want my hair to be wet in front of people in public and them to see it. So I started seeing a hairdresser who worked from home. So I would be the only one in her salon, so she could, like, you know, I could be private about that. So just talking to your hairdressers about that, so you can still get your hair cut, because a really good haircut can make your hair look thicker as well. So, yeah. And I think I kept my hair the same color for basically like 12 years, because I was too scared to do anything in case I damaged the hair. But in the last 2 years, I've been working with my hairdresser, putting like some highlights and stuff through my hair, so that it gives the appearance of being thicker. And that's definitely made a difference. But I was so scared that I was going to damage my hair. But like, we've done it really slowly over like 2 years of like gradually, like we bleached a little bit that we had cut off to make sure it wasn't going to fall apart. Like, you know, and we just really slowly did it. So I think if you have a good hairdresser that you can work with, they can help you to, like, you know, improve the appearance of your hair, and then you'll feel better about yourself.
It's all about communication.
Yeah, and finding someone that you trust, which is great. You obviously found someone that you super trust, and they're cautious, and you're cautious, and like, you work together, and like, for the greater good, I guess.
Oh, thank you.
That's
so
amazing.
Much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And I mean, unless we have any other questions. Any other questions?
We have covered a lot. I can't believe you're on Thursday Island right now.
I feel like we're going to just keep talking forever, though. But I mean, like, no one wants to listen to us babble on for like 7 hours. But
no. Yeah, it is amazing. I can't believe I'm on Thursday Island either. And I'm leaving on Sunday. It's gone really, really quickly.
Yeah. Are you sad to leave?
I am sad to leave. I'm excited for a next adventure, though. Yeah. And I think I'm someone that like goes somewhere I like, and then I'm like, I'll just keep extending and extending and extending.
Yeah.
My goal in the beginning was to do every single state in Australia, and then I go places I like and I just stay and stay and stay, or I meet boys and get into relationships. And I'm like, okay, you've been doing 4 years. You've only done half the states. You need to be like, you know, just
You really have to like slap yourself sometimes and be like, you need to move on. Like, stop this. Cause I get the same. I'm like, I love it here. But you're like, you need to just like keep moving. Otherwise you're just everywhere. I've loved everywhere that I've worked. So I could have easily stayed everywhere. So it's hard to kind of get snap out of that, but you have to remember the reason you did it and the reason you wanted to get more experience around. So
you're hitting the adventure. Hit that goal. You're going to go to every state.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. I'm excited too.
Oh, yeah.
So cheers to the adventure. We're going to get our gin. Also, keep your gin up. Yep. We've got our gins.
So, nobody has a Diet Coke. That is okay.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. And keep your gin up. And we're cheersing you to adventures, happy times, and life, love, and laughter.
You.
Woo!
Cheers. Thank you so much for having me, ladies.
Thank you so
excited
for coming on. Yeah, we're so excited to get this out and
share the goodness.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.